This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of The True Hero's Journey, where we are going to be exploring that journey. It's an inner journey. As my very wise 16-year-old daughter said to me on our adventure today, I'll tell you about that in a minute. I was talking about climbing Mount Everest. Let's put some context to this. I live in a beautiful part of the UK called Shropshire. I live in a place called the Shropshire Hills. So we're surrounded by hills. And whenever we go for a walk, it almost inevitably starts with going up a hill. We can't help that, either up a hill or down a hill. But going up and hill, down hills is part of an inevitable part of our daily walk. So anyway, we decided to extend our walk beyond the normal little short walk, relatively short walk that we do. And my daughter was saying, oh, she said, what a day. She said, what a day. And I was laughing because really, actually, it was a pretty normal day. I was thinking about this amazing film that I saw called 13 Peaks, where these Nepalese climbers climb the 13 highest peaks in the world in 7 months. Truly extraordinary feat. And part of that whole adventure that they went on was climbing Mount Everest and another mountain in 48 hours, which was just incredible to think that they climbed Mount Everest and another mountain, which is over 2,000 meters, these two mountains in 48 hours. So I said to her, well, you know, it's not quite like climbing Mount Everest and that other mountain in 48 hours. And she said, well, you know, not every mountain is a mountain that you have to climb. Some mountains are in your mind. And although I was laughing, I was really impressed. I said, you know, subhanAllah, that's a really profound statement. I'm going to mention that in my talk this evening. So I have mentioned it. Yes, not every mountain is a mountain that you physically climb. Actually, even climbing mountains, really most of it takes place in your head. Most challenges, most adventures that you go through really take place here in the head before they happen anywhere else. And so part of the journey of the hero, which is really the journey, the inward journey, that's what it's really about. The journey of the true hero is really the journey that we are all invited to take. And it's a journey that challenges our normal way of looking at the world. It challenges our normal life. It challenges us to be something better, something greater, to reach our full potential. And that's what we want to do, brothers and sisters. And that's heroic. That's what it is. That's what's heroic. And being a hero is not about, it's not really about courage. It's not really about strength. It's not really about beating up the bad guys. And no, that's not really what true heroism is about. True heroism, at the root of it, is compassion. At the root of the true hero is compassion and empathy for others. To see yourself in other human beings and to want to improve their lot, to make the lives of others better. And that really is a quality that we all need to have, and we all need to cultivate, and we all need to develop. And it is a very, very deeply Islamic concept, that desire for goodness for other human beings. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ad-deen nasiha." The deen is nasiha. And what is nasiha? Often nasiha is translated as good advice, but it's not good advice. Nasiha is wishing the best for someone or something. Doing something in the best way. Not necessarily, you know, that's ihsan. But it is wishing the best. And they said, well, for who, Ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet said, for Allah, for his messenger, his book, for the leaders of the people and the generality of the people. And that is the Muslim. The Muslim wants good for everybody. They want good for ordinary people. They want good for the leaders of the people. We don't want people to be destroyed. We don't want people to be cursed. We don't want people to go astray. We don't want people to be misguided. We don't want people to live miserable, unhappy lives. We don't want people to live in oppression. Exactly the opposite of that. We want human beings to be truly and profoundly and deeply happy and at peace with themselves, at peace with the world around them, whether they are the ordinary people, whether they are the leaders of the people. We want for them the best. And we want for Allah and His deen and His book and His religion that He's revealed for us, we want the best for it. This is how we should be as Muslims, you see. So that is fundamentally our concern. That is our religion. This deen, this way of life, this way of being, that's what it is about. That's what being a Muslim is all about. That's what our deen is all about. And it is also good character. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I haven't come to except to perfect good character. But put these two hadith together, it indicates to us, what is the essence of good character? What are the essential good characteristics that we need to have? They are the characteristics of compassion. They are the characteristics of forbearance. They are the characteristics of mercy. They are the characteristics of kindness. They are the characteristics of caring about others and wanting the best for others. Why? Because you see yourself in that other human being. You are able to walk with them. You are able to put yourself in their shoes and try to feel what they feel and see what they see and hear what they hear. And that's what you try to do. And of course, this doesn't necessarily mean in any way that you are going to accept bad or evil or misguidance. No, not at all. Obviously, because you have to have a criterion, you have to have a means, you have to have a mechanism through which and by which you can judge what is appropriate, what's not appropriate, what's the right way to behave, what's the wrong way to behave. Of course, that's essential. That's very, very important. And that's why we have revelation. That's why we need guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we need that guidance from Allah because it gives us that pathway. It shows us the path. It is the map that we can use to navigate our way on this journey. And it is a journey. That's what it is. You see, this analogy of the journey is an analogy that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself used. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, what have I got to do with this world? I'm just like a traveler who takes rest underneath the shade of the tree and continues on his journey. That is how the Prophet gave the analogy he gave. Life is like a journey. He is like a traveler our time on this earth is just like we're taking rest. And why do we take a rest on the journey? Because if we don't rest on the journey, especially when we need to, maybe we'll never reach our destination. The rest is essential in order for us to take what we need to complete our journey. And so what do we need from this life? What do we need from this life are good deeds. What we need from this life are amal salih, righteous actions. That's what we need from this life. And those good deeds could be in respect to our relationship with Allah, our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it could be in relation to how we are with other human beings, how we care about them, how we treat them, how we look after them, how we stand up against evil for what is right and for what is good and for what is true and for what is just. This is what is very important, brothers and sisters. And this is the essence of true heroism. That's what it's about. It is a lack of selfishness, a lack of it's being selfless, it's caring about others, and that's what is at the heart of it, right? Now, this in a sense is an adventure. It is, because that's what we're called to. We are called to this adventure because fundamentally, brothers and sisters, it is about who you are. It's not about so much about what you do. And it's not so much about the processes that you go through in order to change your behavior. At the heart of it, at the key of it, it's about who you are. How do you view yourself? How do you think of yourself? What sort of person do you want to be? Do you want to be ordinary? Do you want to live an ordinary life? Or do you want to be heroic? Do you want to achieve something significant? And I don't mean here in an egotistical, self-serving, narcissistic type of way. No, because that's not heroic. That's the opposite of what true heroism really is. And you can't, you can never really be heroic in any real sense of the word if you're just doing it for yourself. That's just self-serving. And that's that by definition, by the very definition of understanding what is at the heart of being heroic, it contradicts it. Now, one of the things that can be quite disappointing about life sometimes, brothers and sisters, is that most of the time, change and transformation is something that is gradual. We would love things just to happen at the click of a finger. One day I'm like this, the next day I'm like that. One day I'm fat, the next day, you know, I'm thin. One day I'm unfit, the next day, boom, I can click my fingers and suddenly I'm super fit. And a lot of us, we think like that. You know, we for 20 years, we eat pakora, biryani, you know, chocolate and crisps and drink liters of Coke. We are massively overweight. And we think that all of that years and years and years of abusing ourselves can be undone by one day of fasting or one day of eating some fruit and veg. And, you know, like a week later, it's like, oh, why haven't I changed? Well, you haven't changed because, you know, look what you've been doing for 20 years. It doesn't happen. Maybe after 20 years of doing the right thing, you're going to see that change. But that's what we, you know, that's unfortunately how we are, brothers and sisters. You see, we want everything to be instant. You know, we are so unfit. We are so unhealthy. You know, we go for a walk and we think that's it now. You know, I should be superhuman now. I should be able to, you know, climb Mount Everest a couple of times quite easily. It doesn't work like that, brothers and sisters. It really doesn't work like that. We dream that it works like that. We wish that it did, but it doesn't. Change most of the time is something that needs to happen and does happen gradually. It doesn't necessarily have to take a long, long, long time. And that actually is amazing. Like, yes, you can treat yourself badly and eat badly and have bad health habits for 20 years. And alhamdulillah, most of the time, it actually doesn't take 20 years to sort yourself out. It can take a relatively short time. If you work hard at it, genuinely, in 6 months to a year, you can turn your life around. You can turn your health around. You can do that. And that's a really comparatively short time. But still, it takes effort. And building habits, good habits, building that change, it really is something that takes time, and it is something that is gradual. But it's got to start somewhere. And the place where it starts is within yourself. How do you identify yourself? What do you think about yourself? What sort of person do you want to be? Now, I was thinking today, right today, I was looking outside of the window, and as the weather changed from pouring rain to a bit of sunshine to more clouds and then to a bit of sunshine. And at one time I thought, oh my gosh, there's not even a cloud in the sky. What a beautiful day. We need to get out. We need to go for a walk. And this may seem like a really small or insignificant thing. But just something as simple as that, I was thinking to myself, it's so easy not to do anything. It's so easy just to stay at home, read a book, continue looking through social media, answer some more emails, whatever it is that you're doing. And I was thinking to myself, oh, tonight I'm going to be giving a talk about refusing the call, you see. So everyone, we get this call to adventure, this call, let's call it the call to transformation. But that call to transformation is not necessarily something big and massive. We get that call for transformation, and we get this call to adventure all the time. And I was thinking, subhanAllah, this happens to me every day. I think in my head about all the adventures that I want to go on and the things that I want to do, and they are adventures. And I know that if I went on them and I did them, and I have this sort of real urge to do them, that it would be transformative. It would be amazing. It would be really something that would improve me as a person. And this is what is important, right? The call to adventure, brothers and sisters, it's not a call for you to, you know, go out on the town with the boys and the girls and go to the movies and, you know, stuff yourself in a restaurant. And you know, like, this is not a call to adventure, right? This is just a call to satiate your passions and your desires. An adventure is something that is going to change you. An adventure is something that is going to transform you. It may not transform you completely, but it's going to make you, in some way, shape, or form, a better person, a better you. You're going to come out of that thing. You're going to come out of that adventure, if you come out of that adventure, because part of what makes it an adventure is the unknown factor. Will I survive? How will I survive? And I guess the bigger that question is, how likely am I to survive? Well, the more scary it is. And then in many ways, it's even more of an adventure, right? It makes it even more adventurous. So yeah, the call to adventure, brothers and sisters, we have to understand, right? The call to adventure is a call to transformation. It's a call for change. It's a call for you to be something better than you, what you are now. It's a call for self-improvement, not only for yourself, by the way, but ultimately it is going to be something that is going to help, in whatever way, shape, or form, the world be a better place. That is what is important. It's not just going to change you, but by changing you, you are going to, in some way, shape, or form, contribute to the well-being of your fellow human beings. And ultimately, the more you contribute, the more you benefit others, the more heroic this adventure is going to be. Now, you may get this call to adventure many times a day, and you turn away from it. He said, no, I'm just going to stay at home. Go for a walk. Go to the gym. Read a book. Say your prayers. Read Quran. Learn some Arabic. Make some dhikr. Make some tadabbur. Sit and reflect deeply upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and spend time with your mum and your dad or with your relatives. Spend time with your kids. Tell them stories about the prophets. It could be so many things, brothers and sisters. It could be so many things. And how many times we just refuse? We refuse that call. You see, the call to adventure doesn't need to be a journey to another planet. It doesn't need to be going to Mars. It doesn't need to be traveling to a different land. It doesn't need to be going and fighting some war or traveling to some land to help refugees. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that. It could be really something as simple as going for a walk, taking some exercise, picking up a book and studying it, learning a new skill, saying your prayers, saying some extra prayers, going to the masjid. Any one of these things, it depends on you, of course. Your call to adventure is going to be different. If it's your habit to go to the masjid every day, five times a day, mashallah, Allah bless you. If that is your habit, it's very unlikely that the call to adventure, that's not going to be your call to adventure. That's already, alhamdulillah, your existing habit, which is very good. The call to adventure will be something different from that. Something that is different from your normal life, but something that is going to take you to a different level. And of course, that's really the first, in a sense, the first part of the hero's journey. And one of the identifiable parts of the hero's journey is that reluctance, the refusal of the call, the initial refusal. It doesn't always happen. Some people don't refuse. Some people accept it and embrace it straight away. And some people, they find it confusing. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he received the first revelation, in a sense, this is clearly his call. This is clearly the call. He is getting this call to adventure, the greatest hero of all is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The greatest of all human heroes was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he received his call. Right, but even before you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was going to the cave of Hira. Every Ramadan he would go there. In a sense, that was already, he had already responded to that call. So what motivated him? What made him think to do that? What drove him to go? What was it? It was, brothers and sisters, his feeling of disquiet, his feeling of discomfort, his feeling that the world was not right and things around him were not the best that they could be, and surely things could be better and his people could be better and the world could be better. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to go to this cave to retreat, to think in Ramadan, in the sacred month, and he would go away from everybody, and he would use that time to think, and he would use that time to contemplate. This is what he would do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so this, in a sense, that was not normal. That absolutely was not normal. There were very few people who were deep thinkers like that in Arabia. But this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. He was someone who thought deeply and thought profoundly and cared. That's the thing. He cared about his people. He cared about the world. He cared. He wanted things to be better. But when Jibreel came, and when the first ayat of Quran were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was his reaction? He was he was afraid. He was terrified. He saw Jibril as he's running down from the mountain of light, which is just outside Mecca. He's running down from this mountain, from the cave, and he's seeing Jibril fill the horizon. I am Jibril, and you are Muhammad, the prophet of Allah. But the Prophet ﷺ is terrified. He goes to Khadija. Wrap me up. He's shivering. He doesn't know what to do. He's scared. And the Prophet ﷺ and Khadija reassures the Prophet ﷺ. In a sense, it's not he was refusing the call. I suppose in a sense here, he wasn't refusing, but it was very confusing to him what was happening. Similarly, when Allah tells Musa, throw the staff turns into a snake, and Musa turns back and flees. He's not even looking back. He's not even looking backwards. He's just running. And Allah tells him to come back. This is, in a sense, this instinct to flee from this terrifying, because it is, this challenge, what we are confronted with can be very, very scary. And sometimes it is momentous. It doesn't have to be something as grand as that. Right? For some people, we may look at their challenges, we may look at their call, and we may think it's insignificant, but for them, it's a very, very big thing. You know, there are people who are very overweight, who are very sick, and they don't see a way out. For some of us, we may look at that as being, this is insignificant. What is this? This is nothing. But for them, it's not nothing. And for them, the idea of change is terrifying. It's just as terrifying. In fact, they would rather kill themselves than do what it takes to make that change, because it looks so difficult. That mountain looks so high. It looks like it is impossible to climb. You see? And for some people, who knows what it is? It may be the smallest thing. But you know, as that famous saying is that every journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And it is so important to realize that even the greatest and the most momentous things that we can think about that have been achieved by human beings started with simple changes in a person's life. And those simple, small changes were developed into habits. And when those things became habits, it's through those habits that a person was able to do what we may think of as amazing and superhuman things. You may look at some athletes, some gymnasts, some football players, whatever it is you may look at, and you think, how do they do that? Well, guess what? Practice, 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 practice. Hours and hours and hours and hours of practice and improvement and practice and improvement, and not just practicing, but practicing with the objective of trying to improve and get better. Purposeful practice. This is what it's that purposeful practice, brothers and sisters, that consistent effort again and again. As they say, it takes 10,000 hours to become really, really good at something. 10,000 hours. It takes a lot less to become an expert, right? It doesn't take that long to become competent, to become an expert, but to reach that stage where you are at the top of your game, where you are, you know, amongst the best and the of the best. No, that takes something else. That takes really, really concerted effort and practice. But it's not, it doesn't happen in a day. 10,000 hours. You can't fit 10,000 hours. There's only 24 hours in a day, brothers and sisters. That's all you've got. But you know what? All those athletes, all those great scientists, all those great minds, all those people who you are seeing achieving so many things, they have the same 24 hours in a day that you have. And you have the same 24 hours in a day that they have. And guess what? Honestly, their brain and your brain, they're not really that different. I mean, yes, certainly certain people have certain predispositions to be good at certain things. And for sure, Allah has given something that He has something that He's made you good at. My brain's stuck on that. So brothers and sisters, the thing is, you got to take that journey. And, you know, I want you to start by thinking about, what sort of person do you want to be? What sort of person do you think you should be? What sort of person does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want you to be? How does Allah want you to be? And I think if you think about that deeply, then you'll realize, yes, it is a challenge. It is an adventure. It is a journey. And you are definitely going to face many challenges. You're going to fight many battles. You're going to meet some monsters, some demons. And there's going to be a transformation. But it's worth it, because what else are you here for, brothers and sisters? That's my question. What else are you here for? Don't forget what we talked about last week, that the 2 feet of the son of Adam will not move from their place in front of their Lord until they're asked about 5 things. And one of those things is your life. What did you do with your life? What are you going to do with your life, brothers and sisters? Think about that. And then I want you to think about, how many times in a day do you feel that call to adventure, that call to do something or be somewhere that is gonna, you know, deep down inside is gonna make you and put you on that path to making you a better person. It's on that path of transformation. And then ask yourself, why? Why are you not answering that call? Why? I can't answer that for you, brothers and sisters. You need to answer that question for yourselves. But one of the things I'm going to be telling myself from now on is, when I feel that urge and I feel that call to, you know, go on an adventure, it could be a spiritual one, it could be an intellectual one, it could be a physical one. Not all adventures or going out into the mountains or the desert or climbing. No, like my daughter said, not all mountains are ones that you climb with your body. They're mountains in your mind, right? But whatever it is, brothers and sisters, right? Why are you resisting? Why aren't you committing yourself? Why aren't you answering that call? And why are you not embarking on the journey to become the true hero that you need to be and the world needs you to be? Until next week, if Allah gives us life, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.